Hello, hello, and welcome to Pish Posh with Lindsay Wilson, a podcast about prioritizing passion. Each week, we cover topics in the personal development space, including things like money, finance, business, entrepreneurship, mindset, and seriously, whatever else I'm feeling extra passionate about that week. These conversations are meant to encourage you to prioritize your passion. Welcome to the party. I'm so glad you're here. Let's get into it. Hello, hello, and welcome back to another episode of Pish Posh with Lindsay Wilson. I am here with my co-host, Casey B. We are going to give you our toast and roast of the week, and then I am going to be talking about a book that I read recently. I know, it's not a designated book episode, but it was a really great book, and it had a lot of great personal development topics to touch on, and I just wanted to do something really quick. And I wanted to tell you about it, Casey, because I hadn't told you about it yet. And if you are a Grey's Anatomy fan, you'll like this episode extra, because the book is The Year of Yes by Shonda Rhimes, who is the creator of Grey's Anatomy, creator of Private Practice, creator of Bridgerton, creator of all of the TV shows, How to Get Away with Murder, Scandal. Yeah, but if you're like me and love Grey's Anatomy, and Casey likes Grey's Anatomy too, you'll like it. So, let's get into it, Casey B. Give us a toast.
A toast, other than it being our anniversary week.
You're being very, you sound very quiet.
I'm sorry.
And your voice is all gravelly. Get with it for the pod. We gotta do this first next time. Do some vocal exercises.
How now, brown cow?
Me, 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 me.
Moo, 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 moo.
I love to sing. Okay.
I don't.
That was like a baritone. So deep. I don't. That's beautiful. I think you would be such a good singer if you wanted to try, but you get so embarrassed.
I do.
Oh, okay, what's your toast? That it was our anniversary, our 8-year anniversary.
Yep.
I don't remember if last year we talked about it, but I don't remember if we did a whole episode dedicated to like our anniversary, but there's really not that much to talk about.
Yeah, we went to work, we came home, I cooked dinner.
You made a delicious steak. My new favorite thing is when you make steak and baked potatoes. And it's just the best. I feel bad because like we've been doing it like every night, having steak and potatoes, or like 3 nights a week. And like, can you make steak and potatoes again?
Of course, huh?
What are you in the mood for? Steak and baked potatoes.
But what if we do? No, steak and baked potatoes.
No, maybe we could do that tomorrow. But today, let's do steak and potatoes.
It's a little bit hot. We should. Can you make steak and baked potatoes?
Okay, but. If you're not going to say, that's really your toast, just that it was our anniversary?
I was going to say anniversary, and then also seeing all of the friends for the weekend. I enjoyed that.
Yeah, you and your crazy friends?
My crazy friends.
Do you want to tell any crazy stories?
We decided to take bikes out at like 2 a.m. I didn't know where we were.
You don't know where we are.
But me and one of them made it back to the house. The other one got lost in the darkness on a bike.
And okay, we had you guys are so dumb.
We had to go find him.
You're too old for this shit. Also, it's not like we were in the city. We were out at this. We're on a little island where there's like a community. So it's like a gated community. We rented a house with some friends for Memorial Day weekend and just hung out. And I was just, one of my roasts of the week was I just had major anxiety the entire time we were there, because it was one of those places where there's a Karen in charge, a head Karen in charge, HOA kind of person who literally walks around and talks to all the houses. And I was like, we're going to get the cops called. We were not being crazy, but, you know, I would not like it if my neighbors were playing loud music all day. It wasn't loud music, but in my head, my anxiety-ridden head, I'm like, oh my God, this is so bad. And then, like, there's like a long driveway, but like the guys were like drinking and playing cornhole, and there was music playing, and then kids rode by on their bikes, and I was like, this is bad. We shouldn't be doing this. There's children around. And yeah, my anxiety was like level 10 the entire time. I was like, nobody likes me. We shouldn't be doing any of this. We're going to get yelled at. This person in charge is going to come knock on the door. And it seemed like the owner of the Airbnb was totally fine with whatever, but it seemed like the people in the other community didn't like that he rented out the Airbnb.
Yeah, that's kind of the vibe I got.
I got it. Like, these people are more kind of like, not like your parents, because your parents don't care, but have a similar situation to your parents' house in Port Angeles, where it's not an Airbnb, but it's their, like,
it's their getaway.
It's their home, vacation home, not like different people here every weekend who don't know like the rules, the lay of the land. But anyways, I don't feel like I'm explaining that at all very well, because
I understood it.
Well, you were there, but I don't know. I don't know if anybody else even feels like that, but I just really struggle going on. It sounds so great in my head or ahead of time, like, oh, it's going to be so fun. We're going to rent a house and just hang out. Every time I do that with a group of people, I have so much anxiety. And even with it, when it's like a group of family, like when we rented that house in Montana with your whole family, that was different though. That was a different kind of anxiety, but I was just like, there's just too many people around me all at the same time. And this situation was more anxiety, like, there's too, like, we got to follow the rules, but we don't know what the rules are, but there are rules. And are the rules like really like that strict? You know, that's just what I think. So if we go stay in an Airbnb, like the two of us, I'm fine. It's not that, but
we're quiet and respectful.
Yeah.
That's what they said on my last review.
Which one?
Both of them, I think.
Both of the ones where we stayed in Forks? I would hope so, because we literally got there and went to sleep. And then the next one, we literally got there and we're so exhausted and just went to sleep. We checked it early at like 3 p.m. and just were like silent.
Laid in bed, took a nap. Oh, it was great.
But you know what I mean?
I know what you mean.
And it didn't feel like anybody else was having that kind of anxiety except for me. Which is fine, I guess. I guess it's just me, but that's just something I really struggle with. I know there's people out there who feel the same way as me.
Oh, yeah.
But it's hard when you're one of the only people in the group that feels that way, too. Or it seems like you're the only one in the group that feels that way. Like, when we go with some of, like, a different group of our friends, like, my friends, I feel, not that these people are not my friends, they are, but, you know, we have different groups of friends. And I feel like if we went with my friends, some of them have the same level of anxiety about that kind of stuff, or even more than me. And they'd be like, shh, keep it down, and stuff like that. I literally had to just, like, hide in one of the bedrooms and, like, read my book for a while, just because I needed to be alone.
Yeah, I just took a nap.
You took a nap outside.
I just went and laid down outside and went to sleep.
Yeah. Also, I think that island is haunted. I said that as soon as we go over a bridge and then we're on the island and we're driving through. It wasn't even the entire island that I felt it, but once we went through the gate into this gated community, I was like, this place is haunted. And I think it is. And then when we're leaving, you said, yeah, there was some weird energies going on in that house. I think it was haunted.
Yeah, man.
You were the one who said it.
I did say it.
And you make fun of me because I'm all like energy and ghosts and vibes. And that place, there was something going on. Yeah. It was also, somebody's going to not like that I say this, but I think Mercury's in retrograde again. So,
Lord of mercy.
That explains it.
Am I the one that's not going to?
No. I am part of a group of women, and the person who leads this group says that Mercury retrogrades are not bad. and they shouldn't get a bad rep. But now I'm getting really woo-woo. Your toast was that it was our anniversary.
Yes.
What's your roast?
My roast has been, it was too damn hot in the beginning of the week.
That's a good roast. It was too damn hot. I cannot handle it. I was getting so gropey.
Oh.
Nobody likes that.
Another roast tied into the hotness is Doug putting me on HVAC duty. I've never done HVAC.
Okay, HVAC. Heating, ventilation, and air conditioning.
Right? 10-4.
Okay, that was going to be one of my roasts. I had like a couple things to talk about. Oh, I have something else to tell you. So yes, that is a good roast. You were set up for failure this week. And
yes.
This is something, it just, this is just what your family does.
This is one of the rare times where I have not just like figured it out by myself, though, and it works out just fine.
I think we talked about this on the podcast where you're like, I'll figure it out. It'll be okay. And, you know, I think that would be fine if you had more time and it wasn't literally 90 degrees out and we had no air conditioning.
Yeah, that sucked.
Yeah, one of my roasts of the week, to go along with that being too hot, and your air conditioner unit that you spent, you know, half a day figuring out how to put it up, trying to figure it out with no prior experience of electrical work, and then they had to turn off the, oh my God, it's making me just angry about it. I'm trying not to get angry, but this is what has to happen, but I work in the office. I talk on the phones and help check people out. And so you can't talk on the phone. They had to turn off the power for a little bit. And then after they turn off the power, two other times in the day, the breaker blew because the microwave was on because it's too much was happening with the air conditioner and the microwave, too much was happening. And so then the power went out again. You know, not the end of the world, but when the internet goes out and it takes like 10 minutes to reboot and then you have somebody like standing there waiting and waiting and waiting and talk about my anxiety. I'm just...
Oh,
it was a long day and it was hot. And then the kicker on top of everything is there is already an air conditioning little unit in that office, but it is so loud, I have had to yell all week. And I know it sounds like I yell all the time, but it's different when I'm yelling over an air conditioning unit. And then there's, oh my gosh, like three people checking people out, taking orders, all of us yelling, air conditioning. That doesn't even work. It doesn't even keep it cold in there. I was just, oh my God.
That's right where everyone walks in and as soon as I walk in, it gets freaking hot in there.
It makes me
so ridiculous.
Angry. And I just, you know, there are much worse things that can happen at work, but it's just like, oh, so frustrating. There's a lot of frustrating things that happened this week at work, but it's just like little things. And I like want to talk about all these things, but you know, I'm not going to air out my dirty laundry and talk about people, but, you know, I have a question for myself that I think I need to examine, and it is, why do I want to be in a male-dominated field? Like, that's just what I've always imagined myself in, whether it's sports and now it's wood and construction and contractors and who knows what it'll be next. But I have a feeling it's going to be in a male-dominated area.
Crab fishing.
Which, like, I know why, and it's because I prefer working with men over women in a work setting. But, you know, it just wears on you getting mansplained to all the time. And I just need to kind of take some time with myself and think about why I want to continually put myself in this situation.
I hope I don't mansplain to you.
No,
too much.
You explain to me.
I try.
Today, somebody mansplained to me. And, you know, it happens. It's fine. But then to offset that person, somebody said, "You have a great memory and you're so pretty." And you know what? I'm fine with that. And some women don't like being told that they're pretty at work, or when the old guys say, "Thank you, sweetheart," but I don't mind. I really don't get that. When people are being genuinely nice and saying, "Oh, thanks, sweetie," or "Thanks, sweetheart," and they're like genuinely a nice person, not being condescending or anything, I don't get why people don't like that, because
yeah,
I feel good about it.
Oh, man.
But anyways, that was a long tangent about things.
And your best work friend, he calls you girlfriend, right?
Oh, yeah. And I have a new work husband, and it's not you. So
I know.
At my last job, my best friend was like my work husband. We'd talk all day at work, and then we text all the time at home. And Casey's like, "You're always talking to him all the time." And we were best friends. And that was one of the hardest parts about leaving my old job. But now, since I moved over to this other office, I have a new work husband. He's 71 years old, and he brings me peanut butter and jelly sandwiches for lunch, and it makes me so happy.
What's he bringing you tomorrow?
Tomorrow, even better, he says he's bringing a bologna sandwich, and I love bologna sandwiches, and you don't like bologna sandwiches.
No, I don't like bologna.
So, I mean, I got a new friend.
You got a new friend.
And he's so nice. It's just fun. Yeah, there was highs and lows. It's the heat, man. The heat. I cannot handle the heat.
Everyone's on edge when it's hot, too.
Customers, just everyone is on edge, and myself included. I know. I'm on edge from the moment I wake up in the morning until I go to bed when it's hot out. Like, I cannot handle it. And then somebody was talking about this air conditioning thing, and then somebody was saying, "Oh, my air conditioning isn't working at home." And I was just like, I've never lived in a place that has air conditioning. So everyone could just shut up. But when I lived in Pullman, where it gets to be like 100 degrees for weeks at a time, it was cooler than it was in that office. Because, and in our current house, we have a problem. We cannot open any of the windows.
All the windows are freaking painted shut. Ridiculous, except for one in the kitchen.
When I lived in Eastern Washington, what you do is once the sun goes down, you open all the windows, and it gets pretty cool at night. Not super cool, but cool enough. And you keep it dark all day, and then you shut the windows before you go to work, and then you come home from work, and then it's not insanely hot because you kept it cool. You keep the cool in, even without in air conditioning. But for whatever reason, we live in Western Washington. It's not even close to as hot. And when we lived in Tukwila, our apartment was sweltering.
All the time.
Because our windows were on the south side, and we were on the third floor. And
there was no winning.
That was, I don't know why it got so hot in that apartment, but it did. Because I lived in the third floor in Eastern Washington, too. And something about, I don't know, maybe they have different insulation.
There's just no insulation, I'm assuming.
I have no idea.
Oh, my God.
Wow, we're getting on all kinds of tangents. Did I do a toast?
Did you do a toast?
I don't
think you did. I think you just rolled straight into a roast off of my toast.
Well, now I was thinking, and I had like three. I think one of them was the peanut butter and jelly sandwiches being brought to work. I have to tell you another roast, though. Today, on my walk, and if you guys have been listening to the podcast for a while, you'll know.
Possum.
Yes.
Possum.
How did you know? Dead possum on the side of the road on my walk today.
Was it playing dead?
Okay, if you guys don't want to hear something really gross, fast forward 30 seconds. This one was a lot more, maybe a minute. This one was a lot more visibly dead than last time. If you remember from like a month ago, 2 months ago, I saw a possum and I was really scared that it was just playing dead and not actually dead because it did not look hurt at all. This one, it's completely flat. Definitely dead. And the gross part, I don't know why. I just kind of tell you because it was so gross. I saw it. Somebody else has to know about it. Now all of you have to know about it. Its stomach was like, no, there was like an organ outside of the body. I don't know if it was a baby or its stomach or its bladder, but it was like on a long cord, possibly intestine, and then a little round thing. It was gross. That was a roast today.
That was your roast for the day.
I almost took a picture, but I didn't.
Should have.
It was gross.
Could have posted it for the show.
I know, but nobody wants to
see
it.
In the show notes.
I'll just describe it. I feel like that's almost worse.
Oh, man. It's like when we drove by that one, and I was like, look, there's the baby possum hands.
Oh, sad. Yeah, I just think possums are just absolutely disgusting.
And why is that?
Because they're a mix between a cat and a rat with little tiny
and a people
human hands. And I hate them.
Half man, half rat, half cat.
It's so disgusting. I don't think they live in Port Angeles.
Not yet.
They just live over here. But another one's dead, so... Cheers to that.
Oh, God.
That sounds terrible.
Another one down.
Got him. Okay. I think that concludes Toast and Roast. I can't even remember if I gave a really good toast or not. I know I had like 10 running through my head. Oh, I do have another one. I had a really great call, like I said earlier, with this group of women, this group that I'm in. It is called The Coven. I want to do a whole podcast episode about it. And kind of explaining more about what I've done with it since it's been a couple months now. But I had a really great call on Monday night, and it's just really nice. Like I kind of said earlier, I really enjoy working with men, but I do like connecting with women, and it's hard for me to have like girlfriends. It's just tough for me. And this group is just so nice and so accepting, and there's just something so different about it. When I do a whole podcast episode, I'll explain it so much more, but I just had a really great call with a group of, there's five of us, I think, on Monday night, and it was just so nice and so fulfilling. So it was great. Okay, that concludes Toast and Roast. And then after this, I'm going to talk about the book Year of Yes by Shonda Rhimes. So get excited for that. And we're back. Okay, this part of the episode is going to be kind of like a little preview into what could possibly be coming with this side podcast I've talked about before, my dream idea of Pish Posh Pages, where it would be like short 10 to 15 minute or even 5 minute podcast episodes talking about different books that I read, kind of just a quick one after each book that I read, because I read about one book a week. I was on track for that. I've been a little slow with this new job transition, but I'm getting back into the groove working on a routine. Also, I want to do a follow-up after last week's episode. If you're an avid listener, you listened to last week and I said I'm trying to work on a morning routine. I didn't do it this week. I did not do it. So,
sheesh.
I got to figure out what I'm going to do to make it happen. I think I would like to ask you, KCB, to help. But you're not going to get up any earlier. I know. But can you maybe, like, when I wake up, like, push me to get out of bed? Not literally push me, but say, are you going to go on your walk in the morning? Because that's my new goal. Also, I didn't even tell you about the goal, so that's not very good of me.
Well, what did I say this morning?
You said, we're going to stay in bed. No, I don't remember what you said.
I said...
No, I remember what you said.
I said, you want that ice cream bar?
So, I like to have ice cream before bed. And last night, I asked Casey to give me an ice cream bar. And then we just fell asleep. I didn't have my ice cream bar. And then woke up. Alarm goes off, 5:30 a.m., and then Casey says, do you want that ice cream?
Want that ice cream?
Which makes me think that you did not get a very good night's sleep. Or maybe you got really good night's sleep.
It was a pretty good night's sleep. I was good.
But were you joking or were you serious? Like, were you seriously thinking it was still nighttime?
Well, when I first woke up, I'm like, I thought it was still nighttime, and then I realized it wasn't. But I thought of it, well, I still thought it was nighttime.
So you thought it, and then you knew, but then you still asked.
Yeah, of course.
Okay.
I know you like ice cream.
Well, it was funny. So anyways, my goal next week, it's going to happen, at least 3 days a week, I want to try to take my walk in the morning.
Okay.
Before we go to work.
When it's cool out.
Also, I do think the weather will be a good motivator because the hottest time of the day is when we get home from work. Between 4 and 6 p.m., that's when it's the hottest. And so I do not want to go on a walk then. And then also the sun's going down and it's just, that means it's closer, hotter, you know, and so bright. Kills my eyes. So I'm going to try to do it 3 days a week at least. In the morning, and then make a habit to make more time for my reading and journaling too. But with the reading, I wanted to do something like, as I finish a book, I do a quick kind of, not really a recap of the book, but just kind of giving my thoughts on it. So it wouldn't be, it would depend on the book, I guess, if there would be spoilers or not. With a lot of books I read that are like this book is part memoir, but mostly personal development. There's no spoilers. It's just a book to read and gain knowledge from. There's not really a plot as there would be with, you know, some of the other genre that I usually read, like a thriller. So I think it would depend on the book if there would be spoilers or not, and I would say it at the beginning of the episode. But what I picture it would be something really quick, 10 minutes, because I love listening to podcasts about books. And I'm also in a Facebook group that's all readers who listen to a specific book podcast. And it's so fun to see somebody post like, oh, I just finished this book, and then interact and be like, oh, I loved it. What did you think? Or I hated this. Or who do you picture when what celebrity would be like this character in the book? Like, what do you picture? Is a question I asked in a book that I read. And people's thoughts on what this person would look like were so diverse. It was so interesting. So that's kind of what I'm thinking, doing a quick little read through of the things that I highlighted in the book, because I always highlight things when I read in my Kindle. And then just a couple key points and final thoughts on the book. So that's what I'm doing today. It will be slightly more conversational because Casey's here, but more just kind of my thoughts. So the book was Year of Yes by Shonda Rhimes. This book came out, I think, probably about 4 years ago now, and it was really good. I would give it a 9 out of 10. And like I said, it was slightly a memoir, but mostly personal development, self-help style of book. So Shonda Rhimes is the creator of Grey's Anatomy and Scandal. The Bridgerton series that's really popular on Netflix right now is based on a book, but Shonda created the TV show. So she is a TV icon. And she talks about how she loves writing and creating and has always loved being kind of an introvert and creating spaces, creating friends, creating relationships behind the scenes. And this whole Year of Yes was sparked when at one point she was talking to her sister and she was kind of bragging and saying, I got invited to this, I got invited to that. This cool opportunity came up and her sister said, well, are you going to go? Or are you going to say yes? And she said, no, I have. Then the excuses came up. You know, I have these kids. I have 3 jobs. I'm working on 3 TV shows. Like, I don't have time to do this event, that event, X, Y, Z. And under her breath, her sister goes, you never say yes to anything. And that was like at Thanksgiving. And then it was Shonda's birthday a little while later. And at that point, when it was her birthday, she realized what her sister had said. It didn't hit her in the moment. It hit her a little while later. And so she had this idea to say yes to all of these opportunities for a year. While she's still creating all these TV shows, while she's still raising these children, and she is a single mother, and it was just really good to read. What I loved most about this book was how much she talked about the character of Christina Yang and how important that character is, because I think Christina Yang is the greatest character to have ever been on a TV show ever. Right up there with, I think, people who could compete with Christina Yang as a strong character. We can say female character, but one of the strongest characters of all time. I also think Beth Dutton is up there.
Ron Swanson.
Who do you think are some of your favorite characters of all time as powerful characters? Ron Swanson is actually a good one, even though it's a comedic show, that he is a great character.
And he won Woman of the Year.
He did win Woman of the Year.
There we go.
What are some of yours that you put up there? Because I have like my top five. I've talked about them before. They're top five women, I think. Leslie Knope, Christina Yang, Beth Dutton, Moira Rose. I don't even know if Moira Rose is in the top, but I'm thinking of TV shows. Powerful women. Cersei Lannister. I think the other one I said was Stevie Nicks, and she's not a character, so she's just a powerful woman. But who are some of your favorite, or even just, they could be men, women, characters that you find like super powerful? I know there's so many that I love, but I really and truly think Christina Yang was one of the most powerful characters on a TV show of all time.
Well, I mean, as far as powerful characters on The Grays, I like the Bailey.
Dr. Bailey is also another great one. And Dr. Bailey's character does get talked about a little bit in the book, but not as much as Christina.
And then Ron Swanson, of course.
You watch action shows. You should have somebody. I'm trying to think of people in like Game of Thrones. Yellowstone is a great show. Rip is a great character, but I don't think he's one of the most powerful characters. John Dutton is a great patriarch character, but not in the same way. Christina Yang was just a trailblazer.
But I'm thinking like all the shows I watched over and over again when I was younger, and it was like MASH and Gilligan's Island. So it was like the first things that popped in mind. And I'm like, well, strong character. You got the professor.
That's different too.
you got Hawkeye. Oh man. But yeah, I needed a little bit more preparation on that.
I know, I did just like
sprung that on
I
you.
I did spring it on you.
John Rambo.
You know, men are just not as good characters in TV shows. They're just there. And women are so much more dynamic, I feel. I mean, so we'll get into the whole Christina Yang piece of it, but that was one of my favorite pieces of the entire book, was that it came back to Christina Yang's character multiple times. And Christina Yang was my favorite character on Grey's Anatomy, and I just said it like 10 times. Just amazing, 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 amazing. But when she left the show, she left after 10 seasons, and the show is now in season 16 or 17, so she's been gone a while now. And when she left, as being, you know, one of the most beloved, powerful characters, it kind of left a hole for all of us fans of Christina out there. Like, I want to see a woman like that on my TV all the time. And it kind of, you know, it hurts that she's gone. And to hear what Shonda said about that character, and that she didn't want her to leave either, but it was time, and having to create the perfect exit, and how much of Shonda wrote Christina as what she wanted to be herself. And I think that's so powerful and such a privilege that writers have and creators have, directors have, that they can be like, I wish I could act like this, but I'm going to make this person do this.
It's kind of like
do
an alter things. Ego.
Yeah,
kind of thing.
An alter ego. Yeah. Another great book, if you haven't read it, The Alter Ego Effect by, I believe that's by Todd Herman. Great book. But I highlighted a couple things from the book and wanted to read some of them. They're all quite short, but highlighting these, I can kind of go into a little bit more of where they came from in the book. One of the things I enjoyed was how real Shonda is. She said, dreams do not come true just because you dream them. And that was kind of talking about people saying, you know, one day I'll do this, or after I finish X, then I'll do Y, or someday I'll have the vacation here, but I gotta save up all this money for 10 years and then I can do it. And part of that is realistic, but at the same time, it is, you know, you gotta take action. And I think that also goes in line with a lot of things that sometimes come into the personal development space with manifestation, like it'll just happen. It'll happen when it's supposed to. And the big thing with manifestation is actually taking the inspired action and moving forward with things and messy action. And I enjoyed that piece of the book talking about doing instead of dreaming, even though Shonda, as somebody who's a creative writer, is obviously dreaming and creating all the time, but you got to do some things yourself sometimes. She had a great chapter about being a mom and getting asked, you know, how do you do all of it all the time? How do you raise your kids and have a career? And a lot of the things that she talked about actually in the kind of realm of feminism was just coming from a place that I've really agreed with. I think sometimes the feminist movement can miss the mark and only cater to a certain group of people. And I really enjoyed her perspective on a lot of things that she said in that realm, whether it was with body image or raising children or her career. I just love her point of view. But she had a story about how when she grew up, she loved Whitney Houston. And she wanted to do her hair like Whitney Houston. And when Whitney had these teeny tiny curls, and so you get a teeny tiny curling iron and you spend hours curling your hair, hours doing it. And it still didn't look like Whitney's hair. And at one point, she finally told, I think her hair, she was at the hair salon, like, oh, I just wanted it to look like Whitney's. And they said, you know, that's a wig, right? And the person at the hair salon got out her catalog and showed her that it was a wig. And so Shonda said, this is what I highlighted, don't do that. Don't make me get my curling iron out for no reason. Like, don't hide this secret, like, fake thing. I know it's different when it's Whitney Houston and it's a wig, but she was relating it to being a mom and having a fantastic nanny. And she admits to that. She tells people that. And she said that she really hates it when celebrities or regular women or influencers or any mom is like, oh, I just, you know, I just do it all. I just take the time. I wake up extra early and then I get it all done, or I stay up late, or I time block and they really have a nanny or extra help or whatever it is. Their kids go to daycare. They have a family member that does a certain chore or something. It's like, be honest with it helps everybody if you're just honest about it, because otherwise you have people spending 3 hours curling their hair when they could just buy the wig. I loved that story. And she also talked about how women fight with each other a lot and compare with each other a lot, and it's so true. And I've heard about it so much and even seen it, and I don't even have kids, but I've seen it with moms and saying, you should do this with your kid, or you can't do that. How dare you do that? You need to do this. And oh God, I can't even imagine. But with that and kind of competition and not telling people about whatever they're doing to make their lives easier and raise their kids and have a happier and fuller life. I really liked what she said. She said, I'm no longer looking for the enemy, so I no longer see the enemy. So no longer like looking for what are they doing wrong or why should I be mad at them? Just like, if you're not looking for that, you're not going to see everyone as an enemy. Like, you make people an enemy. And that can be, this was in the mom chapter, but I think that's really relatable for women in a lot of aspects of life. So I wanted to say that one more time. I'm no longer looking for the enemy, so I no longer see the enemy. She had a chapter about her body. She said she was way overweight and she really needed to say yes to what she wanted long term instead of saying yes to things that she wanted short term. She realized she was already saying yes to things that made her happy, but it didn't make her happy even an hour later. You know, she talks about eating the mac and cheese and eating the ice cream and drinking the red wine and all that stuff. And she's like, that's the one thing I was good at saying yes to, things that made me happy in food. But then she realized, you know, I was feeling exhausted and I didn't feel good about picking up my kids or playing with them on the floor or anything like that. Like, my body was just so tired. I didn't like how I looked and all of this stuff. So I thought that was interesting. Like, realizing already things that you're saying yes to, but you don't really want to be saying yes to them. You don't want the yes to that long-term result. And she talked quite a bit about saying yes to some speaking opportunities and events. And there was, I think, 3 chapters in the book that had speeches that she gave. So she gave a speech at a college graduation, and she gave speeches at 2 other events, and the full speeches were in the book, which I really enjoyed reading them. I like reading a good speech, and I would recommend getting the audiobook because I kind of want to get the audiobook and just have it just so I can listen to the speeches every once in a while, or I might look up the speeches on YouTube, because hearing a good speech is much better than reading a good speech, but I did enjoy reading the speeches. And then the last thing I highlighted, which was kind of really speaking to confidence and kind of going along with the whole Christina Yang in Grey's Anatomy and how powerful she was. I just keep saying the same words, but it's just the coolest. Like, she was so strong in her ideas about children and family, about career. She loved her career and that's what she wanted. And at the end of her time on the show, she got exactly what she wanted. She got a whole hospital to run, which Shonda compared to the end of Charlie and the Chocolate Factory. And she wanted to give Christina Yang the best ending possible and not soften her integrity at all and just have everything as great as it could be for a good goodbye. But something that really goes along with the character of Christina Yang and some of the other really strong women that Shonda writes about was this quote that I highlighted, and it says, "You have to be okay with being better than everyone else." And Shonda gained so much confidence in this year of saying yes and seeing, you know, wow, people really enjoy what I do. They want me to come to these events and speak. They want to hear what I have to say, not just the characters that I create, but what she really has to say. And so I just enjoyed, you could even see as Shonda was writing the book, how much more confidence she gained. And she was kind of realizing, like, she's, like, one of the best. She's one of the best in the biz. Like, even if you don't like Grey's Anatomy, that's fine. If you don't like Scandal, that's fine. If you don't like How to Get Away with Murder, whatever. If you haven't watched Bridgerton yet, that's fine. But she has the accolades. She basically talks about it more than once in the book. She owns Thursday night. So she had multiple shows on Thursday night. So it was Grey's Anatomy and then Scandal. And then I think How to Get Away with Murder was on. Like, three shows on a major TV network. Like, nobody else does that. And she is a Black woman. Like, it's just unheard of until she did it. And she is one of those people also that doesn't even recognize being a person who, like, breaks a glass ceiling. She just does what she does. She just works hard and she enjoys what she does. And she has really just owned in on what she loves. And it was just such a good, inspiring book. So I wanted to talk about this one on the podcast because it really goes along with a lot of things I talk about with personal development. And I have read a lot of personal development books and a lot of memoirs. And this is one of the best ones I've read in a long time. I don't think I would say the best ever, but it's right up there because I'm just so tired of reading the same shit over and over again. Like, just follow your dreams and, you know, just keep trying and make connections. And, like, her story and the way that she wrote it and her perspective was just so interesting, so well written. I mean, she's the best in the biz. So what a cool thing. I hope she writes another book because it was just amazing. And I wanted to do this podcast episode also because today is the season finale of Grey's Anatomy. So it's all very fitting. So I think that's the end. If you guys enjoyed this episode and you enjoyed this book talk, it definitely went a little longer on the book talk than I thought it was, but I just am starting out with this. I think if I were to do more of these, they'd be a lot quicker. And I'd probably do them by myself. Unless somebody wanted to join in and do like a little book club talk. But if you want to hear more about the books I'm reading, make sure you're following Pish Posh Pod on Instagram. I post a lot of the books I'm reading there. Or go back, listen to some of my reading recaps I've done. I've read, I can't remember how many of these podcast episodes I've done. I think I've done 3 or 4 reading recaps that have about 20 books on each of them, 15 to 20 books on each of them. So I have a lot of good book recommendations. You can also just message me and say, I like this kind of book, or even this is my favorite TV show. Do you have a book recommendation for me? And I would send one over to you because I really want people to read more because it's so fun. And I even got Casey to read a book this year, and it's still just the first half of the year, so you're going to read another one.
Yeah, working on it.
So, sorry, I just walked all over this one and kind of didn't talk to you very much at the end. Good. But hope y'all enjoyed it. If you have not watched Grey's Anatomy yet, get your ass in gear and watch it. You have a fabulous journey ahead of you. And what do you say about Grey's Anatomy, Casey B?
It's all right.
No, that's not what you say.
What do I say?
You said Casey's summary of Grey's Anatomy, even though you do like it and you do watch it. You've watched it with me.
Yeah, I've definitely watched it with you.
And you like it. You pretend you don't like it, but you do. And you say,
what is it? Everyone cries, everyone dies. Just like Game of Thrones.
Yeah. Game of Thrones, Grey's Anatomy. Everyone cries, everyone dies. Leaving you guys off on a high note this week. We'll be back next week. And party on. Thank you for listening to this episode of Pish Posh with Lindsay Wilson. I am so glad you joined us. Make sure you're subscribed on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, wherever you listen to podcasts. Then make sure you're following us on Instagram at Pish Posh Pod. Then, if you want even more, you can join us at patreon.com/pishposhpod. There are bonus episodes there and journaling prompts for you to use whenever you want. So check all that out. We'll see you next week. Party on.